Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we begin a final hour power here on a Thursday. We'll do, obviously, much more of a game preview on tomorrow's show, hopefully joined by Steve Berline, former NFL quarterback who's doing the game for Compass Media Networks. We're trying to schedule that now, so hopefully we'll have that for you. One thing Joe Witt said today, he was asked about familiarity on both sides. Of course, he was with Dan Quinn in Dallas, along with Sharif Floyd and all the players, whatnot. That was interesting that he said, look, it's more challenging, right, when you're so familiar with everything. But he also said, and this is interesting, he, and people don't think about this, he was with Mike McCarthy for a long time. He was with him for a lot of the time in Green Bay. He said 11 years in Green Bay. I'm not sure if that's exactly accurate, but I'm sure it is. I don't have his bio right in front of me. I didn't realize he was there the whole time with McCarthy in Green Bay, but whatever. 3 years in Dallas, said we've had a lot of conversations. We do this thing called cross the hall there, where the defensive coaches go work with the offensive players. And he told a little story about how Kellen Moore, who's now the Eagles offensive coordinator, who was the Dallas offensive coordinator, he said he sort of hit us on something that I said in one of those cross the hall meetings, and that was difficult, but I knew it. We already knew that was going to come. So maybe, again, he's saying we expected it, but he hit it with us, and they were successful. Yeah, it's interesting part of this rivalry, right? I mean, when you look at all of the Cowboys that have come over here to the Burgundy and Gold, not just Dan Quinn, not just Joe Witt, Sharif Floyd, who I've mentioned a couple of times, assistant defensive line coach, the players. I mean, think about it. How good would, or how not good would the Washington Commanders be this year without Tyler Biadasz, without Dante Fowler? I mean, think about that, right? Without Dorrance Armstrong. I mean, Noah Brown didn't come directly from there, but he was once there, right? You know? And there's probably going to be more. Like, that's probably going to continue as we go along here. So it's just interesting. And again, you know, maybe it's just me. I can't think of anybody in sports that I've hated. Like, certain guys annoy the you-know-what out of me if they act like complete imbeciles. Well, I don't hate LeBron.
Yeah, but imagine all the times that you've watched a game where, or watch an event where somebody starts acting like a clown. You actively will start rooting against the team, and
but acting like a clown is different. Is it not? Acting like a clown is different than, oh, he plays for that team.
I'm just saying, you can understand in that regard. You can understand the, oh, I hope they lose, and like that kind of fervor. That's the, in general, call it like mind control, whatever. The Commanders fan base has that fervor all the time against the Dallas Cowboys.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Because you're right. There is nothing more that drives me crazy than somebody acting like a fool.
I'm sure that first fight last Friday, you were like, oh, knock him out, as he kept on doing the arms up and wiggling and dancing.
All right, one last thing I wanted to get to. Dan Quinn, who's the head coach here, served as the defensive coordinator for 3 years there. A lot of you didn't want Dan Quinn for various reasons. One, he was a Cowboy. Two, his defense got lit up like a Christmas tree in that Packer playoff game. And at other times, on the ground, against physical heavy run teams, i.e. Buffalo, San Francisco, Green Bay. There was one other, I can't remember exactly who last year, and that left a poor taste in people's mouth. Then you had the whole, oh, hire a head coach who's a deep, you know, like the Grant Paulsononomics, where you can't hire a defensive coach because offense is the only thing that matters. And I kept telling you, I said, look, you're wrong. What matters in today's day and age is how you relate to your players, one, how you can get them to buy in, and also what matters is... Well, let me just stop there, because what I mean by that is, of course, you have to be able to do some of the X's and O's things, of course. But there's this notion that the Cowboys can't stop the run because Dan Quinn didn't know what he was doing. Dan Quinn didn't prioritize it. Well, Mike Zimmer and the Cowboys still are not stopping the run. And I would be willing to bet a lot of dollars that Mike Zimmer came in, took that job, and said, priority number one, fixing the run defense, right? Again, we as football fans, not me, put way, 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 way too much of the blame and the credit on coaches instead of the lack of personnel or the style or the philosophy, or the execution, right? So when Dan Quinn came over here, you say, well, yes, their defense in Dallas was missing something. They were not able to control the run against teams that were committed. And in some ways, we've seen that here, right? Ultimately, they were able to plug and stop the run for a half in Baltimore, not in the second half at all. They were able to stop the run for basically three quarters, maybe a little bit more than three quarters last Thursday night, but not at all, right? So there is a difference between certain situations. In Dallas, I don't think they were doing what they're doing here in Washington, which is, and by the way, that's a good thing for us. Like, they understand, hey, man, like, we want to be aggressive. We want to fly to the football. We want to get up and shoot gaps. We want to put pressure on the court. We want to blow up the backfield, all of that. But in lieu of that, we are really having trouble stopping the run. Well, here in Washington, I would say outside of some spots early in the year where teams just are not tackling well. They're tackling better now. Not great, but better. you can see, again, and I just point you specifically, well, let's do the three big games that they've lost. They basically shut down Pittsburgh. Not completely, but basically. They blanketed Saquon Barkley for three-plus quarters, or much of three quarters. Let's just say three quarters. And Derrick Henry, they blanketed him and Lamar Jackson for the entire first half as runners. Now, again, they gave up other stuff, specifically in Baltimore. And to some degree, they gave up some other stuff against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But the point being is, like, a lot of people didn't want these guys here, meaning specifically Dan Quinn and specifically, I guess, Joe Witt, and then knowing that other players and personnel would come with them. But let's just say, let's keep it to Quinn and Joe Witt. A lot of people did not want them here because they thought, oh, well, look at how they operated in Dallas. They'll never make any switches. They'll never make any changes. Well, actually, just the opposite. When you're really, 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 really smart, like Dan Quinn and Joe Witt are, you say, oh, wait a second. We did this, and we built this, and sometimes that was our decision, sometimes it wasn't. We don't know if Dan Quinn stood on a table for Mazi Smith, who has not worked out with the Cowboys, first-round pick late last year. We don't know that. Or if they thought, hey, this is the guy we want. This is the guy we love. We're going to get him. Dan, here, do something with him. We don't know. We don't know. But the point being is, Dan Quinn and Joe Witt and everyone else coming here has made the Washington NFL franchise so much better. And they came directly from the Dallas Cowboys. You hated them, allegedly, last year. Or you had no use for them, allegedly, last year. Now, because they're helping you win games, now they're your guys. Now you hang your hat on old DQ. Backwards, of course. Now you're a Dante Fowler guy. Now you're a Tyler Biadasz. Badass guy. You see where I'm getting at? And that has hurt the rivalry too. Ultimately, I think, is Dan Quinn was trying to beat the crap out of the Commanders the last 3 years. And that was his job. He was trying to completely stomp a mud hole in them in the nicest way possible. Now, he's in charge of doing just the opposite to the Cowboys. So, to me, and we've had callers that said, well, free agency has changed, and, you know, the Brotherhood and the NFLPA. Well, look no further than the head coach of the Commanders. A year ago at this time, while he wanted this job, trust me, he wanted this job for various reasons. He was trying to beat their asses. And now, a year later, completely the opposite. Completely the opposite. So, while that doesn't mean that there isn't a rivalry, it's one other big part of this whole thing, this whole puzzle that I've been trying to get at, which is ultimately, again, because you have the situations that exist, it's just not the same. It's not as it once used to be. Again, I would highly encourage you to listen to the guys that joined Doc yesterday. Because they played when this rivalry did mean everything. When both organizations were pretty much good year in, year out. When football was different. There was no free agency. Now, you've got the defensive coordinator who's trying to beat the ass of the Commanders the last 3 years as the head coach of the Commanders. And maybe that's not that big of a deal to you, but it is interesting to me. And it, I think, proves my point all along. Let's get to Let's get to Jay in Rockville here on the Team 980. Jay, how are you?
Rooster, what's going on?
Jay, what's going on, buddy?
IG, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for the buzz.
I just want to hop in on the conversation about the rivalry.
Yeah.
I feel like the rivalry has peaked, Rooster. Gone are the days where players and coaches, they hate each other. Players are like friends today. They hang out. They swap jerseys. They follow each other on social media. And, you know, with the ineptitude of the team for the past two decades, the low-stakes games, we haven't played a game against the Cowboys to go to, like, a NFC Championship game or Super Bowl in years. And then, like, the idea of Cowboys and Indians, that fueled the rivalries of the past. And we don't even have the name Redskins anymore. Mm-hmm. We're the Commanders. So it's no longer. Dallas fans and, like, are all over the U.S., like fans in Las Vegas, California, and I can tell you they don't care about the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
They have their eyes on the Eagles.
Yeah.
That's like the team they want to have a rivalry with. So the rivalry only exists here in the DMV, and it's because of the Cowboys fans in this area.
Well, you know, Jay, that's an interesting point. You're right. There are a ton of Cowboys fans, you know, in a lot of places, but especially here, and you're right, it does take on an elevated form. But absolutely, you are correct. Like, if you gave truth serum to 100 Cowboy fans, 99 of them would tell you the Eagles are a bigger rival than the Washington Commanders, NFL team, yeah, football team, Redskins, what have you. And then the other part of it, and it's a good point, and I did not bring it up because, honestly, it just did not, for whatever reason, register for me, is how much of the rivalry is not the same, not because of all the reasons we've discussed and just did discuss, but because it's not the Redskins Cowboys, which, yeah, you brought up, you know, which is interesting, right? Like, because I pay no mind or attention to that, but a lot of people do. A lot of people do,
right,
you know?
Right.
And
yeah,
I mean,
I remember my dad watching Westerns back, mm-hmm, in the day, man.
And oh, yeah.
They were Cowboys and Indians, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that was his thing.
And, yes,
you know, that's when the rivalry was really hot, like the late 70s, 80s, up until like close to the mid 90s and stuff like that. So, yeah, lots changed.
How old are you, just real quick?
I'm 41.
Okay, so you're 10 years younger than me, and you grew up here, right?
I did. Yeah,
okay.
I remember when the Skins back then won, mm-hmm, the Super Bowl. I was in the third grade. Mm-hmm. I remember our principal. He was a Skins fan too. Sedgwick Elementary School.
Let me ask you this, okay? Let's fast forward, I don't know, 3 to 5 years. Let's just use that. The Commanders, mm-hmm, are once again at or near the top of the NFL mountain, right? And the Cowboys, mm-hmm, are nipping at their heels.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not as good, but nipping at their heels. Like, to me, all the things that we just discussed, you, me, all the good points you brought up, callers brought up good points, I think I brought up some good points, Maddie's brought, I think we will feel very differently regardless of what the teams and who's the coaches and what and mm-hmm, who's where and who lives here and who talks trash. I think we will feel very differently once again if that is the landscape in, say, 3 to 5 years. Again, where, say, hopefully the Commanders are at the top of the mountain or near the top, yeah, of the mountain, and the Cowboys are maybe just a rung below and maybe just nipping at their heels again. I do think once that happens, I think it will reinvite a lot, just like Ohio State Michigan has. You know, if you think, mm-hmm, about that, right? Mm-hmm. Ohio State Michigan was somewhat sleepy for a couple of years, and now it's, mm-hmm, back, man. And maybe Michigan's not as good this year, and now it's Ohio State's turn. And God knows Ryan Day will get fired if they lose to Michigan this year. But my point being is, when both teams are really, really, really good, I mean, we can separate all of that other nonsense and just focus on that.
Yeah. You know, I think if we, like what you just said, maybe a couple of years down the line, if both teams are 8-2 and we get one of them Netflix Christmas, mm-hmm, games.
Oh, yeah.
That'll the rivalry for sure. Yeah, that'll juice up the rivalry.
Yeah, no doubt. Great call, Jay. Thank you. Appreciate you. Make sure you check in again real soon. Thank you, Jay. That was excellent. I'll tell you what. Take time out. We'll do the Deion Sanders thing, and we'll squeeze in a couple more calls here. I got Jonesy Little. We'll get to them. Probably not going to be able to get to any more calls besides them. So, you know, probably save for tomorrow. We got plenty of time tomorrow. We got nothing but time on our hands around here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, so Deion Sanders says he's put his kickstand down. Says he's staying at Colorado. Not surprising. What else is he supposed to say? Yeah, if some NFL team pays me $25 million a year and gives me complete control, of course I would. No, what is, he's not going to say that. But, of course, everybody has been drawing up this, you know, since Dez Bryant or whatever it was with Jerry Jones at the Tyson fight and then with Deion, apparently, and you know, said, oh, the Cowboys should hire Deion. Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys probably should. Got to be better than what's going on now. Deion would probably revitalize the franchise, give a shot of energy, just like he kind of sort of did initially at Colorado. Then it faded because, well, they had a lot of work to do. And now it's back, right? Because they've had more time to retool, revitalize, so on and so forth. And, oh, by the way, it helps when you've had Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. That being said, the NFL works in very, 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 very different ways. Salary cap. And obviously, again, I know the transfer portal and all that stuff and college football is more like the NFL and NIL and all this, but it's not the same. It is not the same. And the level of competition is certainly not the same in any way, shape, or form. I think Deion Sanders is best for college football. I think Deion Sanders would struggle in the NFL. So if you asked me, hey, man, Deion leaves Colorado, $20 million a year to be the head coach, and eventually, you know, Jerry not rides off into the sunset, but Jerry removes himself from a day-in, day-out role as much as Jerry's ever going to do, and Deion's got full control, I would say that would probably benefit the Commanders. I would say that probably is not going to work out. I might be the only person that says that. But I think that would actually be good for the Commanders. Good for the NFC East. I don't think Deion could do it. Because the NFL is a completely different beast than coaching at Colorado, where there was largely no expectation. All right, let's get a call or two in here. Let's go to Jonesy. What's up, Jonesy? How are you?
Hey, Chris, what's going on,
man? What's shaking, Jonesy?
The reason why it's the rivalry is not where it used to be is because of 20-plus years of Dan Snyder. That's what the problem is right there. He's diminished the rivalry. So...
Let me ask you this. Do you mean he diminished it because the team has been so bad or because he personally did something?
That's right. He's done definitely a bunch of dumb things, man. So that's where it pretty much is, man. So I'm riding shotgun with you.
Let me follow up on this, Jonesy. Supposedly, right, he grew up a diehard Redskins fan with his dad, and, you know, so important to him and all that stuff. So he had to be immersed and rooted in that rivalry, right? So would we agree that he didn't personally do anything willingly or intentionally to ruin the rivalry? it was just his own incompetence when it came to hiring people, believing in people, hiring yes men, running an operation that is very, very different than a telemarketing company, which is how he got the money to buy the Washington Redskins. Would we agree with that?
Yep, I sure will.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Indeed.
All right. Thank you, Jonesy. I appreciate you as always. I didn't make a big deal out of the Dan Snyder thing. I didn't make a big deal out of the Redskins thing, but that's all part of it. That's all part of it. I wanted to focus more on what I wanted to focus and kind of like what's important to me, but that's why we do the show, because you guys think differently than I do. Sometimes we think alike. Sometimes we think very differently. Sometimes we agree. Sometimes we don't agree. Let's wrap it up on the phones before we get to the final trending alert and then clean up on aisle three and dum-dum of the day with Little in the last spot. What up, Little? How are you?
What's up, Rooster?
What's shaking, Little?
Shout out to Ice.
Yes, sir.
Shout out to Ice. Hey, look, Rooster. Nah, we don't want Primetime to take over the coaching for the Dallas Cowboys. We want Flintstone to keep the job. Fred Flintstone. That was Doc call. We want Fred Flintstone to keep his position.
Yeah, he's not going to keep his position, though. He wouldn't keep his position, like, if he had 1 year left on his contract. But ultimately, he has nothing left on his contract. So it was win or bust this year, and it went way 1,000 times worse than anybody could have ever thought. I didn't have them making the playoffs, but I mean, there's no chance I thought they would be 3-7 coming here.
Well, our fingers crossed he keep his position. Bruce, I was at the game when Ken Houston stopped Walt Garrison from scoring a touchdown. I was 72. I was 12 years old before we went to Super Bowl. Look, it's always going to be a fan rivalry. No matter what, Cowboys going to put their gear on before the game and walk around. You know, the only thing I praise about the Cowboys is I like the uniform. I was stationed in Texas, Austin, Fort Bliss. So I saw back in the day how I was in Texas. And some of these fans that say call D.C. the Dallas Cowboys, I wish they was back there in that era when I was at Fort Bliss, to realize what it was really all about. Now, for me making that statement, Rooster, we're putting up a 50-burger Sunday.
Attaboy.
You heard it from Little.
Attaboy.
You heard it from Little. God bless y'all. Stay up, man.
Thank you, Little. If they put up a 50-burger, burger's on you, Little, or no?
Hey, well, we'll get to that point. Matter of fact, I'm going to call a big fella halftime, him and Double D.
There you go.
And if they got 30 points a half, and I'm going to stand by that 50 burger, sure.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to my wife. I'm going to talk to my wife and tell her to land up and come on to Smash Burger.
Let's do it.
You heard it from Little. They put the 50 burger up. It's on me at Smash Burger.
There you go.
I'm part owner, me and my wife.
I'm aware of that. Thank you, Little. I appreciate that. I gave Little an opportunity, and he ran right through that door. If they put up a 50-burger, though, think about how good we would all feel, right? Even though, again, the Cowboys' defense not great. I mean, it's the kind of the strength of their team, if they have a strength.
If we put up a 50-burger, I got to be honest, there's a part of me that is actively listening to Dallas Sports Talk on Monday morning just to hear how depressed they all will be.
I mean, what I get giddy for is Jerry after a bad loss when he meets with the media, and then Jerry with Sean and RJ.
Oh, yeah. Jerry with Sean and RJ after a loss here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be a fun conversation. Yeah. He might start spitting.
Yeah. No, you're right. All right, let's get a final trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980, and then we'll come back, clean up on aisle three. Is straight ahead. Everything that we haven't gotten to, or as many things as we haven't gotten to on this very busy Thursday afternoon in the nation's capital. Stay tuned. All right, so we mentioned Deion Sanders. Well, it looks like he is, as expected, definitely going to be losing Travis Hunter, who said he is, quote, for sure entering the NFL draft. Of course, he is the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy, two-way player, cornerback, and wide receiver for Colorado, and is expected to be, at least on paper, the number one prospect in the 2025 NFL draft. All is not lost for Deion Sanders, though, and Colorado. They've landed Julian Lewis, a five-star quarterback recruit, number two on ESPN's top 300 list, and he announced his commitment on the Pat McAfee show. I wonder how they arranged that. I wonder how Pat was able to get... Anyway, there you go. Tonight, right here on... Tonight, here... Let me backtrack. Tonight, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app, Pittsburgh and Cleveland, Thursday night football. Could be some snow, a little bit of a winter wonderland in Cleveland. There was snow on the ground this morning. You can hear it again on the Team 980. Two teams going in opposite directions, the Steelers 8-2 and the Browns 2-8. Over on 106.7 The Fan, beginning at 6:45, it is game one of the non-Alex Ovechkin era, at least for now, as the Capitals come back from a wonderful three-game road trip, which they started with a win in Denver against the Colorado Avalanche. That's the opponent tonight. 6:45, again, the pregame coverage. No Alex Ovechkin on injured reserve. 7 o'clock, the puck drop, and that's what's trending. All right, we'll get to the Caps in just a couple of moments, but wanted to start clean up on aisle three with some weird-ass news. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Yes, indeed. Clean up on aisle three. So I saw this last night, maybe overnight, and I didn't know if it was a real thing or not. But the NFL has issued a security alert to its teams, the Players Union, following recent burglaries of the homes of Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. Apparently, the league says in this memo, homes of professional athletes across multiple sports, so it's not apparently just an NFL thing, not just a these two thing, have been increasingly targeted for burglaries by organized and skilled groups. They had an FBI briefing last week. Law enforcement officials have become aware. They told players to take precautions, implement home security measures to reduce the risk of being targeted. Apparently, some of these burglaries have conducted extensive surveillance on targets, attempted home deliveries, posed as grounds maintenance people or joggers in the neighborhood. They've entered through side doors, via balconies, through second floor windows. They've targeted homes in secluded areas. I mean, we shouldn't be shocked by this in today's horrible society, but it is still jarring if you think about it, right? Even though these players have so much money and can easily replace things that are damaged or whatever, and they can absorb it and whatever. If you think about it, right? We all remember what happened, unfortunately and sadly, with Sean Taylor. Think about how scary this is when you are, again, and I know this happens in regular life, but especially when you're Patrick Mahomes, when you're Travis Kelce, and you're with Taylor Swift, think about what can happen. And I don't mean to be, you know, scary or anything like that, but it is very real. It is very real what can happen in this case. And unfortunately, we saw it play out in the worst way possible. a long time ago, but still very much on our mind, right? And I don't know how these players, athletes, whatever, are going to deal with this, but I would tell you this. You know, if you own a home nowadays, quite honestly, and you don't have a security, and it is just Uncle Rooster right here. If you don't have a security system, man, like a monitored electronic security system, and you're not using it, you ain't doing it right because you can't trust people anymore. We used to live in a society, depending on where you lived, where you could leave your house unlocked. My best friend back home in New York used to do it all the time. No security system, would leave their door unlocked at night, and I'd always be like, aren't you worried? No. And I grew up in a house that was regularly like targeted by a nearby neighbor for a while until the nearby neighbor got busted. Then it stopped. But the point being is, imagine being a high-profile athlete living in some of these unbelievable mansions. Whew. Man. Just think about it. Think about it for a minute. Again, I would highly encourage you. You don't have to be a superstar athlete to be targeted. I would highly encourage you to have as much security and as much insurance, if you will, as you can afford. All right, moving on for that. So here's the deal. I wanted to get to this. The NBA All-Star Game supposedly is going to have a new four-team tournament style format for the upcoming 2025 game and expected to have two semifinal games, which are going to go up to 40 points, with the winner advancing in the final match up to 25 points. It sounds a little bit like what the NHL has gone to, where they have division versus division playing in a period, and then the other two divisions play each other in the second period, and then the winner of those two periods play the third period. So you're playing a max of like up to 40 minutes, not maybe a max up to points or goals or whatever, but that's what it kind of sounds like. After all these discussions, the teams are going to have three all-star teams. I'm reading that wrong. Oh, okay, here it is. Three all-star NBA teams of eight players, and then the winner of the Rising Stars game that are going to play as the fourth team. Okay? I am somewhat intrigued by this. Somewhat intrigued. I can't tell you that I'm ever really intrigued by the NBA All-Star Game. I watch it because it's my job. I watch it not because I'm interested in it. Just like the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight. It's my job. I don't get to always choose what I care about. Like some people do, and they ignore hockey and they ignore women's sports and they ignore things that they don't like and baseball. I don't. I have a job to do. So at that time of the year, usually it's like the week after the Super Bowl, ain't much going on. Gotta watch it. I've had zero interest in it. This might get me to care a little bit or to wonder how this is going to play out.
My only issue is I thought that they had a really fun product with the EFIS rule that they put in a couple years ago, that it was whoever scored the most points in the third quarter, how that many points in the fourth quarter after a certain point is what brings it to game. So it became, towards the end of a game, a very defensive battle because it was just you had to get to a certain number of points for the game to end. And I thought that was so much fun.
You know, that's interesting. I guess I kind of forgot about that.
Because most of the time it's all offense. Right. There's no defense at all. It's just, I mean, it's a boring game. That actually put a little bit of stakes to it. And that made it fun.
You want to like kind of make it competitive. But here would be my question, right? Without that, in lieu of that, they're saying, hey, man, first team up to 40 points in the two quote unquote semifinal games. and first team in the final game up to 25 points, isn't that artificially saying, hey, man, you better play some defense, you better be competitive, you better care, you better, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I mean, if they have to artificially do it because the players aren't doing it, because we're already talking about a midseason All-Star break that half the people say, no, I'm not going because they don't want to get injured and they want to take a break. I mean, the product itself, let's not kid ourselves. Like, one of the big things that has always been a drive for the NBA All-Star Weekend has been the dunk contest, and that has been kind of a travesty for the past couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, the talent isn't coming.
The dunk contest, I remember watching it for the first time in a while last year. I don't remember anything at all about it except for how bad some of the dunk attempts were and ultimately how boring it is. I guess, you know, maybe now that Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith are coming to ESPN, I guess it'll be relevant again. And I like Charles Barkley. But please, people act like that. That show is irreplaceable. And that show alone is going to get you to get a good game on. Please stop. All right, last thing. Tonight, and we don't do high school sports on this show. It's just, you know, like, we just don't, right? We leave that to the experts. DC News Now, ABC 7, they have high school coverage on Friday nights, what have you. Tonight, and this is drawing a lot of interest, in the Virginia High School football playoffs, 9-1 Hayfield is taking on 4-6 Edison. Not a good matchup on paper, right? But Hayfield, if you're not aware of the story, and there's been some reporting on this, Post, what have you, other radio shows over on 106. I don't know if Kevin did anything on it. I didn't hear that part. Have made a big deal because Hayfield, who's the 9-1 team, was originally suspended in the VHSL Class 6 state playoffs. And then they were reinstituted after, like, a big drawn-out thing and a couple of hours before the playoffs were supposed to start a couple of weeks ago. And now they're back in. And why? Because they're a public school who hired a coach who then had, I believe it was 24, 25 kids transfer into Hayfield. Not to a private school, but to a public school. And 13 or 14 of them came from his previous school. And wait a second, we can't have this. Like, we already have a nightmare with the NIL and the transfer portal. We can't be doing this in high school, right? Can we? And yet, it was happening. And so Hayfield, again, at 9-1, plays tonight. In case you're not familiar, again, based in Alexandria, everybody thinks they're going to smash. And I don't know enough about them other than they're really good. I'm sure they'll win. But boy, wouldn't it be funny. Wouldn't it be interesting if somehow, some way, they tripped up. They are 9-1. It is not impossible. Not going to happen tonight, but boy, would it be interesting to see if all of this hubbub, all of this controversy, and then they come out and lay an egg. Not that I'm rooting for it, but just thought it would be interesting. All right, we come back. Put the finishing.
Three.
Sorry, ma'am. I always stomp all over you. I apologize. We'll put the finishing touches on the showgram with Dum Dum of the Day, another female doing weird things, not just like the one that I just stomped all over for cleanup on aisle three, but you will see when we return. Some people do really weird things on a plane. We've had a lot of these stories in Dum Dum of the Day, right? We've had the guy that punched out the other guy and left him in a bloody heap. We've had people taking diarrhea.
It just seems like, much planes? Like Florida, planes are just where people go to be stupid.
Yeah. We've heard of Russell Wilson working out and doing stretches down the aisle of the Denver Broncos plane. He got a lot of criticism for that, but have you ever heard of this?
It's time for Dum Dum of the Day.
All right, I'm going to use air quotes. There's a actress, an actress who has been ripped for doing full body workouts in the middle of an airplane aisle. And as the New York Post quips, she might have won the Idiot of the Year award. Well, actually, let's just start with this. She just won Dumb Dumb of the Day. So a Mexican ex-soap opera star and fitness influencer, so I guess she's an actress, I guess, has been ripped for doing full body pump workouts during a long-haul flight. Barbara DeRogel, I guess, regularly shares her workout routine with her 9 million Instagram followers. I'm sure they're all in it for her workouts. She had reportedly been traveling with her husband to an unknown destination. Due to the length of the trip, she decided to unwind by exercising in flight. I've seen the video. I mean, it's quite impressive. I wish I could do high steps like she can. I wish I looked as good in a workout suit as she did, or as good in other things and pictures that I've seen as she did. She said she was feeling nearly crazy after nearly 35 hours in the air on planes. I mean, what are you doing? What are you doing? 35 hours. Now, I would say this. If you're on a plane for 35 hours, maybe I'd get a little crazy too. But she is literally doing full body workouts. She is doing some light stretching, walking down the aisle. Then she does the high steps right in the middle of the cabin, much to the chagrin, I guess, of people, or much to the entertainment of people.
Yeah, when she starts doing the squat jumps right in front of somebody's face, at that moment, I would be praying that we actually hit a bit of turbulence.
Yeah, she basically she did, you know, as it's being called, a CrossFit program in the sky. It doesn't say where she was going for 35 hours. Have you ever heard of a 35-hour flight?
No.
Where is she going for 35 hours?
So I take that back. I'm pretty sure there is a, like, 35-hour flight, but it's one of those, like, Nat Geographic ones that it, like, takes you all the way up to see the Northern Lights from the air, and then it's, like, an all-the-way-around-the-world trip. But you book that with the knowledge that this is going to be a long flight. Like, you don't go and then complain about the lack of a gym.
Right. And maybe you thought you could handle it, but you don't, but whatever. Anyway, you know what her husband was doing all while this was apparently going on?
I'm assuming filming.
No, he was sitting scrolling through his phone, which is what everybody does these days.
Congratulations, you're Chris's dum-dum of the day.
Listen, I totally get stretching your legs. I totally get wanting to, you know, do things. Do we need to Russell Wilson it and do high steps down the aisle? Honey, you're not that important. Nobody cares. Including your 9 million Instagram followers who aren't following you on Instagram because you're working out and they're inspired by you. They're following you because you're hot. That's why they're following you. And as soon as we all understand each other, then we can move along. That's going to do it for us. A little bit late in getting out of here. Craig Hoffman coming up next. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980.